This week on Making Contact,
we want to decide how we feed our communities. Any society is immoral that makes the people that feed it justify their very existence.
Women are gaining influence as leaders throughout the world, fighting for peace, justice, the environment, and civil society. In this program, we profile women of La Via Campesina, the global peasant movement for sustainable farming, land rights, and social justice. Canadian Nettie Weeb fights to keep seeds in the hands of small farmers. From the U.S., Dina Hoff takes on climate change and trade agreements. Elizabeth Mpofu of Zimbabwe raises issues facing women, and Japan's Ayumi Kinazuka shares the effects of the Fukushima nuclear disaster on her organic farm. I'm Sandina Robbins, your host this week on Making Contact. This program is produced by the Women Rising Radio Project. Women Rising Radio caught up with Nettie Weeb, a Canadian farmer who's been with La Via Campesina since its early days as a global movement, fiercely independent of political and economic affiliations. Nettie spoke with us on her way to the Women's Assembly of the group's 20th anniversary conference in Jakarta, Indonesia.
I grew up on a farm. Of course, with my education, I had to live and work in cities for parts of my life. But I've always been home for harvest, and my partner and I went back to the farm. It's been a way of life. It's not a lifestyle for us, it's a way of being. We live in Saskatchewan, and the climate is harsh. The winters are long, the snow is deep, and that might sound discouraging for people. Actually, it's a place where you, when you're farming, you are so conscious of both how important it is that you do that work, but also how deeply embedded you are in a bigger environment, a sort of spiritual embeddedness. And I think urban people often forget this. We're very, very dependent on farming and soils, water, seed for our survival. Your lunch actually comes from our fields and our pastures. We're organic farmers and we are family farmers. So traditionally, my grandparents and great-grandparents kept within the community all of the seed that they grew. And they traded seed and planted their own seed. But over time, with the industrialization of agriculture, we've become more and more reliant on commercial seeds, on seed growers, and on patented seeds. The new varieties of seeds are owned and patented by a very few corporations. And one of the things that we're fighting about in Canada now is that the regulatory system will make it possible for seeds that are currently on the market to be deregistered, which means that farmers will be less and less able to save seed and replant it, because if the variety is deregistered, we won't be able to sell it. They really are clamping down and tightening the noose of control around the seed stocks, and that's governments in collusion with a very few major transnational agribusiness corporations. It's really frightening for farmers, but I think it should be a frightening scenario for everybody who eats, because seeds are really at the heart of our agriculture production. And whoever owns the seed will actually become more and more in control of who eats and at what price. And when you're talking about genetically modified seed, actually less than a handful of companies who own all of those patents. We as organic farmers are, of course, very, very opposed to the use of GMO seeds. But even those of us who stay well clear of it, our fields are endangered by the contamination of it. There was recently a case in Oregon of GMO wheat, which is in fact not licensed and not registered, but a field contaminated with it. So we have around seeds and seed contamination struggles everywhere in the world. Corn being contaminated in Mexico, in Oaxaca, with GMO strains. Wheat in North America. We had a case of flax contamination in Canada, which has taken us multi-million dollars to try and clean up our seed stocks and reopen European markets for our flax seed. It's everywhere and it's pernicious.
In a David versus Goliath battle, La Via Campesina has taken on large multinational corporations like Monsanto, Dow Chemical, and DuPont over the use of their GMO seeds and technology. La Via Campesina maintains that GMOs, genetically modified organisms, are not safe for humans or animals, and long-term studies have found that GMO food can cause serious digestive and reproductive harm.
In many places, there has been direct action to try and confront and undermine the corporate control over seeds, and particularly the GMO seeds. I mean, you've seen stories over the years of confrontations in Europe, pulling up field trials, actions in Brazil where a tree nursery with GMO trees was destroyed. So there are places where direct action is what's needed. Many, many citizens around the world have joined together to protest against GMO in foods. And you can see in places where that consumer pressure is beginning to make itself felt. It's going to take a lot more than that, and we in the Via Campesina know that too.
Monsanto was forced to withdraw all of its European Union applications for new crops. That effectively ends its GMO presence in Europe. Its decision was greatly influenced by a citizens' anti-GMO campaign. Now Monsanto is stepping up its marketing in the United States. Its public relations firm has dedicated over 50 full-time staff to promote its GMO agenda. But grassroots campaigns in Maine and Connecticut have gotten bills passed that require food made with GMOs to be labeled. Other states, such as Washington, with its Proposition 522, are trying to do the same. In California, Proposition 37 was narrowly defeated after its opponents spent more than $45 million, including a whopping $8 million from Monsanto alone. Nationwide, advocates continue to battle the food giants.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow.
Dina Hoff is a Via Campesina farmer in Montana. Dina is just as passionate about farming as Nettie Weeb and equally committed to stopping the spread of GMO seeds.
I married a farm boy, but my grandmothers and my great-grandmothers were the farmers in my family, and from the time I was tiny, they regaled me with stories of the farm, and so from the time I was a toddler, I thought that that was the life for me, and that's what I always wanted to do. It means everything to me. It means a way for me to make sure that my children and their children and their children and their children will always have a place where they can feed themselves, where they can help other people, where they'll have access to land. This year, we had to go all the way to Wisconsin to find corn seed that was not GMO, and all the dealers that we called in Montana wanted to argue with us about being Luddites because we were just being plain silly, not planting that wonderful GMO corn that you only had to just spray with Roundup and then you never had to do anything else to it. But we didn't want it and we got tired of arguing. GMOs are really designed to enslave farmers to the company's specific technology because once you buy and open a bag of GMO seeds, you have signed a perpetual contract. And companies really don't make any claim for higher yields, for disease resistance, for any other desirable traits. And the one claim they have made is that it would reduce the usage of chemicals sprayed on plants and fields, but it's not true because there are now about 13 or 14 known herbicide-resistant weeds, And now it takes a whole combination of chemicals to kill the same weeds that you used to be able to kill with Roundup. Also, I don't like it that they control the seed, and I don't like it that Monsanto alone is already sued 146,000 farmers, and only 11 of those ever made it to court. The rest were settled with a gag order. So I don't understand how they could have gotten the World Food Prize in light of the fact that they're suing the people who produce the food in this country. If 70% of the food in the world is produced by small farmers and small fishermen, and more than half of those are women, you know that the big corporations are doing their best to make sure that these people disappear. And that's why Via Campesina was founded in the first place, because we don't want to disappear. We want to keep doing what we're doing. We want to decide how we feed our families and our communities. We do not want to be forced labor because there's no other jobs when we're pushed off our land. People aren't just displaced. They're dispossessed of everything, including their dignity, including their futures. And I think that's criminal. I think that any society is immoral that makes the people that feed it justify their very existence.
Worldwide, small farmer activists have not only been dispossessed, they've been killed for resisting corporate and government land grabs and development schemes in Mexico, Brazil, India, Thailand, and elsewhere. Dina Hoff has seen growing conflict and violence in the wake of actions by global organizations like the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and the International Monetary Fund. She says the so-called free trade agreements are directly responsible for that conflict and violence. Dina is especially concerned about the upcoming Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement.
Yep, we never seem to get rid of that old WTO. It lays low for a while, and then it comes back with a new scheme to own the world. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is just the newest incarnation of North American Free Trade Agreement, which has been a disaster for small farms and for American manufacturing and for workers in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. We have more than 20 years of experience with that trade agreement, and yet the Trans-Pacific Partnership is modeled right after NAFTA. The TPP is just going to accelerate resource extraction, and that's going to happen across the Pacific Rim. It's going to encourage really bad global consumption patterns. Also, what it does that's the worst is it eliminates people's ability to have any input in any other environmental concerns, like having clean air, clean water, clean soil. Transnational corporations are going to be able to challenge virtually any environmental law or regulation or court decision which impacts not their profits, but their expectation of profit. And then our governments will have to use taxpayer money to pay them for their expectation of profit that they lose by not being able to run roughshod over populations everywhere in the world. The whole trade scheme is just another corporate power grab, a way for them to grab land and resources and water and basically control everything. It's very unfair. It's very immoral.
Dina Hoff says the trade agreements and WTO policies promote more severe global climate change. She's already faced the extreme effects on her own farm in Montana.
Winters used to be cold. The coldest I've seen it on my farm is 47 below zero. And now I can grow peanuts and sweet potatoes and artichokes. I just harvested artichokes yesterday. Those are definitely not Montana crops. But the summers have been really terrible. On my farm, we just had what was called a microburst that smashed two big trees onto my house, damaging the roof, snapped our power pole off at the ground level, mangled the shop door. Other places around us got hail. We didn't get the hail, but this is the third microburst we have had in 8 years. It was completely unheard of. We've been on this farm for almost 34 years, and no one who ever lived on it before had ever had anything like that happen. flooding, forest fires, drought in areas, tornadoes. It's just been a very violent summer. So Bangladesh, the people who live on the coast are being flooded out by a rising sea level, but in the north of the country, the rivers are drying up and people are dying because they don't have water and they can't grow crops. In Africa, they're experiencing more drought. There's terrible storms and there's hurricanes and there's... In Europe, people were dying from the heat not so long ago. So it's a big change, and I don't think that anybody with a conscience can say that it's part of a natural cycle. So Via Campesina knows that the best way to combat climate change is to stick with small-scale agriculture that dedicates itself to conserving resources and building soil, because good, healthy soil will store a lot of carbon. Also, small-scale agriculture doesn't use the fossil fuels and use the energy that huge plantation-scale farming does. We just need to be using less. We need to be living more simply if we really care that there's going to be an environment left to live in at all. And it has been scientifically proven that organic farming will help tremendously.
The land rows straight and long. Tend to them with prayer and song. Mother Earth will make you strong if you give her love and care.
Dina has participated in all four of the women's assemblies of La Via Campesina. She feels that women have made tremendous strides toward achieving equality in the organization's leadership.
I was at the first women's assembly in Bangalore, India, in 2000. Until that time, there were seven men and Nettie Weeb, and they made up the whole International Coordinating Committee. At that meeting, we decided that every region was going to have a man and a woman. And it was a hard-fought battle, but we're very proud that it happened. And I have seen growing respect for women in Via Campesina. I have seen men actually come and seek women out and ask their opinion on a variety of issues. Women have been on the front lines of any of the big mobilizations against the WTO and in other institutional gatherings. Women have always been there in the front line. We introduced the concept of feminism at this conference, and after a lot of discussion, it turned out not to be as threatening as many people thought it would be. And our campaign to end violence against women has been very successful. We have a lot of support from men. A lot of young men go out speaking about why it is important that women be given equal rights, equal access to land and resources and credit and respect. And it has also been very wonderful to see women blossom, knowing that there's solidarity with them all over the world. And it's really wonderful to see Elizabeth Mpufo as the international coordinator for Via Campesina beginning the 1st of January. I'm just very proud of that.
Elizabeth Mpufo, a small farmer in Zimbabwe, will head La Via Campesina's International Coordinating Committee, which will be headquartered in her country. At the 20th anniversary, she pointed to some of the important issues coming up.
This is the 20th anniversary for Via Campesina, and we've seen that we still have challenges which we are facing. Via Campesina, we've been doing some campaigns against this capitalism. This is a serious issue whereby these capitalists are still grabbing the land from the people. It's still a big issue. And also violence against women is not really decreasing. And I think the mobilization of more women to take leadership, to come to meetings, to conferences, is very important. And also the issue of climate change, yes, it's a big issue, it's a big challenge for all farmers. So those are the issues which we are looking forward to lobbying now, to campaign for.
Where you are, we're right in the corner. Where you are, we're right in the corner. Where you are, where you are.
You're listening to Making Contact. This program was produced by Women Rising Radio, a project of Crown Safira Productions. Contact us at radioproject.org and at womenrisingradio.com. Women Rising Radio caught up with Ayumi Kinazuka as she was on her way to a meeting of La Via Campesina in Jakarta. Ayumi is a youth coordinator for both the Family Farmers Movement in Japan, Nomindin, and La Via Campesina. Following in the footsteps of her father, an organic farmer, Ayumi cultivates organic tea.
My father started organic farming 37 years ago, and I came back 10 years ago to be a farmer. And I really enjoy farming in my region, and it's about the culture, the Japanese culture, tea culture, and also about the local culture. And I'm living within that rural community and hoping to protect that rich culture we have inherited. In Japan, the average age of the farmer is 65 years old, but in my region, I think the average age in my mountainous area, the community, is about 70 years old. And there is not that many young farmers in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and the 50s. The farmers are considered young. So when I came back 10 years ago, one of the things I felt very important was to have a network of the young farmers, because first, we need to share the understanding of our current situation. So I started contacting some young farmers who I've never met. And when I attended the youth meeting of Nomindin, I met a lot of young people, and they were facing the same problems or challenges. And as I talked to them, it was very inspiring. So I suggested La Via Campesina to organize the youth in a concrete way. So since 2008, we have started the regional youth gathering. I think farming is not just the production of food. To produce the food is more like expression of our own ideology or our own beliefs. So participating in La Via Campesina meeting and Nomindin meeting, I'm receiving a lot of information and education. How to perceive the world, how to perceive the current agricultural system and food system and so on. It's giving me a lot of inspiration in that way. So that's why I'm making the tea this way.
Ayumi faced her most difficult challenge in farming in 2011 when a deadly earthquake and tsunami destroyed Japan's Fukushima nuclear power plant and release dangerous levels of radiation.
So I live in Shizuoka Prefecture, which is west of Tokyo, close to Mount Fuji. And from the Fukushima nuclear power plant, it's about 400 kilometers away. I've never imagined my farm would be affected when the accident happened. So after we harvested the tea, we sent our tea sample to the testing. And we found 350 becquerel of cesium in our tea. And the second harvest season, at the end of June, we found 150 becquerel. And the last harvest in October, that within that tea, there was 75 becquerel of cesium. Even though the government regulation level for tea that time was 500 becquerel, and according to them, since it's below the regulation level, they say it's safe. But as an organic farmer, we have never used any chemicals or herbicides, pesticides, chemical fertilizers in our field to ensure the safety of the our tea and the food, and also to protect the environment. It was a very difficult time for us we didn't know how to understand this reality that our tea is contaminated. So collectively, since we are a group of organic tea farmers, collectively we discussed a lot and decided that we are going to destroy all the tea we have produced that year. So altogether, we have destroyed more than 20 tons of tea that was produced in 2011. And since then, we've been testing all the tea that was produced in a year, so three times a year at least, to make it obvious for the consumers what's the truth about the tea, the reality.
Ayumi and her organic farming collective took huge financial losses to protect the people who buy and drink their tea. Rejecting the idea of profit over safety, La Via Campesina supports the integrity practiced by Ayumi Kinesuka's organic collective.
We are very upset about the situation, what has happened, because we have been working so hard to build a community of organic farming, and at the same time, we've been working very hard to build a very good close relationship with the consumers and producers. But all of a sudden, without our control, this accident brought us the radioactivity in our tea. What's scary is that radioactivity, you cannot see it, feel it, taste it, smell it, but it's still there. So the accident contaminated our soil, air, water, and also all the plants, and also, of course, our body too. So we have to be very clear that we cannot coexist with this kind of dangerous generation of the power. Now a lot of people in Japan are living in the city, and they are so detached from the nature. So even though human beings are also a part of the nature, we forget that. And that is driving people crazy. So organic farming has a responsibility to connect these people back to the nature. It is very nice when people come to my farm and they have a very beautiful smile on their face and their eyes are just bright. And that really tells us like what's really essential for us to live as a human beings. It's not just the, you know, money and the goods and iPhones and computers. So I want to provide as an organic farmer, not just the safe food, but these opportunities for the people to come back to the nature and feel themselves what it is like to be alive.
That's it for this Women's Desk edition of Making Contact, co-produced with Lynn Feinerman's Women Rising Radio Project. Learn more about these courageous women at womenrisingradio.com and at radioproject.org. Very special thanks to Ashleisha Kadze, Nikar Tsai, Boa Monjane, and Lynn Leshin of La Via Campesina, to Grassroots International, to KXGN in Montana, and to Real World Radio. Music by Fran Friedman, Yokoyama Katsuya, and Bolivian and African members of La Via Campesina. Women Rising Radio celebrates its 10th year on the air with the National Radio Project. A big thanks to all the staff and volunteers at NRP. Stephanie Welch is our production engineer, and I'm your host, Sandina Robbins. Thanks for listening.